All right, so we're starting a new series today that I've called How Do I Find and Follow God's Will for My Life? How do I find and follow God's will for my life? Now, this is something that is quite important, and I believe that for everyone who is a believer, this question might have crossed your mind. Actually, this question should be super important to you. Is a question that you should ponder, or you should like really think about quite a lot, actually. And I think one of the reasons, I mean, there's so many reasons why we should have that question in mind all the time. But one reason, which is kind of like a negative reason, is you and I do not want to live our lives, and when we're 90, or if you want to get to 100, then that's fine, and it's time for us to leave this world, and at that point, we now reflect and realize that we have not even followed God's plan for our lives at all. It will really be a sad, sad event, a sad time. But I know that wouldn't happen to any of us in Jesus' name. I was with someone once, and this person was quite unwell, and the doctor said there was nothing they could do for them anymore. So I was with this person and we were talking. And that was such a defining moment in my life. And you would expect that for someone who maybe they know that they're going to, you know, meet their maker, that they would be panicking or they would be afraid. But this person looked me in the eyes and said, "Look, Pastor B, as much as I know, I have done the best that I've known how to do. I've followed God as much as I could with the knowledge that I had. I've looked after my kids the best way I could. I've done everything that I know to do from a career, from a business perspective, and I am good." And at that point, I was asking myself to say, if it was me in that position, would I be able to say such a thing? Or would I be full of regret? Would I be saying, "Oh my goodness, how I wish I had participated in church more. How I wish I hadn't been so consumed with my work. How I wish I had given time to really spend time knowing the Lord." So that's one reason why I believe it's important that that question is running in our minds all the time. However, in introducing this topic, one thing I'm going to say is this. It's really easy to follow God's plan. Really easy. In fact, a child can follow God's plan. So that's the good news. The good news is that it's not complicated. I come across people who sometimes say, "Oh man, what's God's plan for my life? I want to know God's plan. I want to make sure I follow God's plan." And they are quite agitated about it, which is okay. But really, following God's plan is really simple, as I will show us over this next few weeks. It is so simple that it'll be like, "Is that it, Pastor B?" Actually, that is it. And I believe the way God does his things is he makes it as simple as possible, as long as we don't come with our own preconceived ideas of what we think God's plan should be. So that is what we're going to be looking at this month. And for me as a pastor, it is quite important that I walk us through these things so that you can fulfill God's plan for your life. I can fulfill God's plan for my life. So that at the end of our lives, when we come face to face with Jesus, we'll be able to look at each other and say, "Yes, we gave it all we knew how to. I did my best. Maybe I didn't do too well in this area, but I gave it all my best." That is what I want us to be able to say when we all meet on that final day as a church. That's what's important to me. So today, we're just going to start that off. So that was kind of like me introducing the topic. Today, I'm just going to look at a number of points to get us going. And the first is, what is God's plan for everybody? What is God's plan? So when I say, what's God's plan for my life? What really am I talking about? Well, we'll look at a couple of scriptures. The first one, which is one of my favorite, in our house, if you ask anyone in our house, like Sister Tish or Brother Ryan, say, what's Dad's favorite scripture? Tell me. Jeremiah 29:11. In fact, there was once I went to, I traveled abroad for my sister's birthday. And she said, okay, can you just share something, during the birthday thing? And that's the scripture that I whipped up. And I spoke about it extensively. Then my cousin is having his birthday as well abroad. And he says, oh, why don't you, later this year, why don't you say something? And someone who was at the first birthday party, which was like last year, and who knows me, said to me, Pastor B, I hope you're not going to be talking about Jeremiah 29:11 again. I said, well, that scripture does not expire. So the first thing we say here is this. What is God's plan? Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. So God knows the plans that he has for you. You're not just like a random individual walking about. And God's like, what are we going to do about this person? Holy Spirit, let's think about it. No, he knows already. So it says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So God lays it out here that there is something that he has for you. So looking at that, God says he knows the plan he has for you. He says it's a plan not to harm you. I've met people who have said, man, God is angry with me. God is the one that made my mother sick because she didn't do this. God is the one that did this. God doesn't do those things, by the way. He does not. There are times that naturally, nature causes us to fall ill. Just naturally. For example, if you went into the street there and you picked up something on the floor and you ate it, it can make you sick. Other things as well. So what I'm saying here is this. God says his plan is not to harm us or to punish us. Some people say, God is punishing me with this thing, this sickness. God doesn't punish people with sickness. He will correct you with his word. He will send people to you to say, look, what you're doing is wrong. Don't do that anymore. And there are consequences for what we do. But God specifically says his plan is not to harm us. So that if you have any inclination, say God wants to harm you, he says no. He says to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. Hope and a future. I spoke about hope last week. So listening to that, I don't know about you. I think I'd want that kind of plan for my life. Do you get what I mean? If someone said, oh, Pastor B, this thing you're talking about, is it a good plan? Is that the kind of plan that you'd want? I would say yes. I mean, do you want someone to harm you? I don't want anybody to harm me. Do you want hope? Yeah. Do you want a future that is certain? Yes. So the first thing we're establishing here is this, is that God has a good plan for each and every one of us. So it is something that is good to look out for. He qualifies it here. Then Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet to the nations. So Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 now begins to tell us that for each and every one of us, God has a specific plan as well. And that was what he was telling Jeremiah here. Now, if I read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. Paul was saying here, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, but also to all who long for his appearing. So we're still talking about the first point about what's God's plan for us. The Apostle Paul here says something. He says, at the end of his life, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. And he now looks forward to the reward that Jesus is going to give him. This is where we want to be as well. This is where we want to be. Where at every point in time, you can say, okay, I might not have done things perfectly, but I've done what I can in the context of the kingdom of God. We're not perfect. Do you understand? It's not about perfection, but it is about having a consciousness that, look, I want to do the plan. I want to live in the plan that God has for me. So Paul the Apostle was able to confidently say that. And for me, that is what I want to be able to confidently say as well. I was telling someone, I think last week, and I told that person, I said, for me, I'm going to give life 100%. I'm not going to make excuses for myself. If I'm tired, I'll tell God, look, God, I'm tired. Yeah. There was one time, oh my goodness. I don't know, I don't think I'd slept for about 2 or 3 days. If I'd slept, it was maybe a couple of hours. I was busy at work trying to do something. So I was in my study, which I call the room of no return. My daughter knows that when I get into that study, sometimes I lose track of day and night. I wouldn't recommend that, by the way. So I was worn out, and I woke up on a Sunday morning. I was so tired, I could hardly move. And I said, God, oh man, I don't feel like going to church today. Can someone else preach? He said, no, you get up and you go and preach. I was like, okay, you know what, just help me this morning. I was so tired. So what am I saying? God is not saying we should pretend. He's not saying we should be perfect, but he is saying we should desire to fulfill his will. Jesus now says something in John chapter 17, verse 4. John chapter 17, verse 4. It says, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. This is our Lord Jesus as well, saying this. So last week, before I deviated from talking about how tired I was having a conversation with someone. And I said, look, I'm going to give life 100%. God has called me as an individual to Bristol here. He's called me to this church. He's called me to do specific things. And I told that person that in X number of years, I'm not going to tell you guys how long, actually. I said, in X number of years, I believe that I will have done everything God wants me to do for CFT Bristol. It's not like I'm emigrating abroad, by the way, just to put it out there. I'm not emigrating or immigrating. One of those. And I said, during that period of time that I believe God has set up for me, I'm going to put in 110%. I'm going to have a really exciting time. Do you understand? I'm going to do everything I know to do. I'm going to put my energy, my brain, everything, I'm going to put it all in. Then after that, we'll open a church in Wales, apparently. But, so all you that are living in Wales, you're still going to be coming to Bristol, by the way. The Wales church is for some other people. So I said, it's like, oh, we won't be traveling across the river anymore. Good. Pastor B, when? Don't worry. If you're in this church now, this is your church. If we open another church elsewhere, it's for some other people. So don't even think about it. You're still going to be driving across the river, by the way. Anyway. So what am I saying? I'm saying, look, for me, I'm super excited. Sometimes people ask me, why are you so excited, Pastor B? I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just excited. I'm excited. Seriously, I'm just excited because I'm alive. Do you get what I mean? That's it. I'm excited because I'm alive. Somebody like, oh, I have like so many challenges and all that. I don't care. I care. Not like I don't care, do you get what I mean? But as long as you have breath in your nostrils, there will always be challenges around. So, wholeheartedly embracing God's plan for our lives. I'm going to do something American this morning. Can you turn to the person who's sitting next to you and tell them, I hope you're going to wholeheartedly embrace God's plan for your life. And use American accent, please, by the way. Oh, you guys in this church, you guys are too British. Do you know what I need to do? I need to recommend some YouTube channels for you guys to practice. I'll send you guys the links so that you can practice the American church thing. When I say, praise the Lord, you guys will be like, hallelujah. Then I have Sister Tish on the keyboard. She'll be, dun, 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 dun. Then I'll say, let's have a praise dance this morning. Then I'll be jogging up and down. But before I can do that kind of thing, I think I have to make sure I've gone to the gym so I don't get tired. Anyway, talking about God's plan. So the second thing I want to mention this morning is this. God's plan is not automatic. It's not automatic. God's plan is not automatic. And what do I mean by God's plan is not automatic? God has given us something called free will, and He wants us to make a conscious decision. He wants us to make the choice by ourselves. He doesn't want to force His plan on us. He doesn't want to make us do things because we're not robots. He didn't create us as robots. God wants us to choose Him. And in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 19, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 19, it says, heaven and earth, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, but choose life that you and your seed may live. So the second point here is this. God's plan does not automatically come to pass in our lives. We have a part to play. God's not just going to force you to do what He wants to do. God's not going to cause you to be like, He's not going to wind you up like a robot and say, you must do this. In this passage, God says, look, I've laid before you life and death. But He now goes a step further and He says, but I would love for you to choose life. So God's not saying, okay, choose one, whatever you choose. No. He says, I've given you a choice. But the choice I would like you to make is this. So the same way God says in His plans, I have a plan for you. But I would love for you to choose that plan. Because God's plans are not, they don't automatically jump on us, if you get what I mean. So the third point I'm making this morning is this. I would categorize God's plans into two categories. So this is the third point. There's one I would call the general category and the specific category. The general category and the specific category. I will talk more about the general one next week than the specific one the week after, but I'll introduce what I mean by that. So the fourth point is this. What is God's general category? You know, at the start, I mentioned that it is so easy to live in God's plan. It's not something that you have to stretch your mind to go too far to do. So the general category is this. John, three things here. John chapter 17, verse 3. Jesus says something. He says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus whom you have sent. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and the participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in death. So under the general category, the first thing, there are three points here, is that our sole aim, the Bible says, is to know God. Our sole aim is not just to come to church on a Sunday, which is great. Our sole aim is not to do all these things we do, which is sing, and all those things are part of it, but our sole aim is to know God. Is to know God. I'll expand on that later. So, Paul the Apostle says here to us as well that his aim in life is to know God. And this was a man that traveled around the world and he preached across the continents of the world. When there were no aeroplanes, there were no cars, he suffered. But his aim in life was to know Christ. So that's under the general category. So it's a desire to want to know Christ. The second one under the general category, three things, is Acts chapter 2 verses 42 to 46. Acts chapter 2 verses 42 to 46. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many signs and wonders performed by the apostles. It says, all believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give everyone that had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their houses and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So under the general category, the second thing is living in a community of believers. So the first one is having a heart that I want to know Christ. And the second one is living in a community of believers. I've met people who will tell me, I don't belong to any local church. I just wake up in the morning, and if I want to go to that church, I go to that church next week. Or some people be like, my church is on the internet. My pastor, my church is in America. I watch them online. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. You can watch online to learn more about God and all that. But for any individual that does not belong to a local church and is part of that family, they know you. If you don't come to church on a Sunday, someone knows that this person hasn't come, they call you. And you are growing with them, you are participating. For an individual that does not do that, the Bible also says in Hebrews, Paul was saying, let us not forsake the gathering of ourselves together. So anybody who wakes up and says, I belong to the body of Christ, I don't believe you should belong to a local church, refer that person to Hebrews chapter 4. Refer that person to this, because that is wrong theology. It's wrong theology. So anyone who does not, I mean, some people say, oh, I went to that church, they were really terrible in that church, they did this, and no problem. Go to another church, please. Try another one. That shouldn't be an excuse. I know, I mean, there's some people that I've met, like, man, when I went to that church, they really gave me a number, and like, I'm not going to any church again. I'll be like, okay, I apologize on behalf of whatever done, but please go to this. I can recommend one for you, because that is God's will for our lives. Now, am I saying if you don't go to a local church, you make it to heaven? You make it to heaven, well, but you will not have been able to really live in God's plan for your life. Do you understand? Now, under the general category, the last one is this, Mark 16, 15. It says, he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. So the third thing in the general category is participating in the preaching of the gospel. And what do I mean by the preaching of the gospel? It is doing anything that will ensure people hear the message of Christ and you vocalizing it as well. I know some people are like, man, I'm so shy, I can't talk to anybody about Christ. No problem. But have the desire that once in a while, if you come across someone, even if you don't, you can't preach, talk about what God has done in your life, how God has strengthened you sometimes. So if we can just stick with these things, automatically, you will be living in the will of God. You will be following God's plan for your life. So it's easy. So one, a desire to want to know Christ. And I'm going to say something a bit interesting about that. And we need to be quite careful. I've met people sometimes No problem with that. And they tell me, oh, what was the name of that? They say, oh, you guys at your church, you should be more, there's one word that some people use, as in, you should be more, preach more about how God can help us, how God can solve our problems, how God can make things happen in our lives. And I tell them, look, yes, God can make things happen in our lives. Yes, we will pray for one another that God should intervene in our situations. We will pray that God will help us. We do that. But our focus as a church cannot be what God can do for you. Our focus as a church cannot be that the only reason we're talking to God is because we want Him to solve a problem in our lives. That cannot be the basis for which it cannot be the basis for our faith. God does those things. God helps us. God does miracles in our lives. God help. But that cannot be it. It cannot be it. Do you understand? So like, oh, Pastor B, why don't you, you know, that God will solve all your problems. God will make sure that all the people that are after you. I'm not against that. But what I'm saying that, come on. How can that be the basis of our faith? Can you imagine if you had a friend and each time your friend comes to your house, they knock at the door and the only thing they're talking to you about is, ah, you know that dress that you were wearing yesterday, I really like it. Can I have it? Can you help me with this problem? Can you help me with this? And every time they come to you, the only thing they're doing is asking you to help with this, to help with that. All the time. I mean, how would you feel? Wouldn't you feel like, man, does this person think I'm like a jackpot machine? How would you feel about that? Each time that person comes, they don't even ask, how are you doing? They don't even want to know how you're getting on. It's like, can you help me with this? Help me with this. I haven't paid my rent. I haven't, you know, all the time. How would you feel about, how would you feel about that? Tell me. Do you understand? So, these three general things are so simple. And the first is making our priority to know Christ. Making it our priority that, look, irrespective of what's going on, my aim in life is to know Christ. And as a pastor, my job, I believe, is to show Christ to you so that you will know Christ as well. Do you understand? To know Christ, to belong to a local church where you are part of a community, and to do all you can to participate in the preaching of the gospel. Do you understand? As you follow this, that's it. You begin to live in God's plan for your life. And it's that simple. It's that simple. There are people who come to set up the church here, the meeting we have. There are people who sing. There are people who do one thing or the other so that at the end we can fellowship and I can preach the word or somebody else can preach the word. So as you do that, you're also participating in the spread of the gospel. So if you guys were not here to do all these things, how would I do it? So that is the general description of living in God's plan for your life. The last point I want to make, I will expand on these things as we go along. So I've spoken about four things. The first is that God has the first is what's God's plan. I said God's plan as the second point is not automatic. I've said God's plan I would categorize into two, general and specific. The fourth point I made was that for the general one, once you're part of a local church, doing your best there and your desires to know Christ, automatically you begin to walk out God's plan for your life. So the fifth and the final point is this, the specific call. So the specific call is where God now says to you as an individual, from a ministry perspective, this is what I have called you to be. I've called you to be a pastor, or I've called you to be a prophet. How does that happen? Again, very simple. And I'll look at a portion of scripture, then after that we shall pray. Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them to." So the specific call comes as we are participating in the general call. As you're in a local church like this, or someone is in their local church, if God has called you to be a pastor or a prophet or and all that, God will arrange, as long as you keep participating in the general plan, He will organize it in such a way that you will know what your call is. Your leaders will know what your call is. Because the Holy Spirit will inspire them to say, this is what this person ought to do. Do you understand? So, is it your business to be looking out for whether you're a pastor, a prophet, and all that? It's not your business. You shouldn't even worry about that at all. As you go on in your general call, you participate in local church, you want to know Christ, you are contributing as much as you can to what's going on in the local church, God will be watching you, and if you're called, one day He will arrange for your call to be noticed and for it to happen. So it's not something that you have to be praying about. Am I a pastor? Am I this? No. Am I saying you shouldn't pray about that? You can if you want. But it is not something that you do. It is something that God does. What God wants you to do is just to carry on with Him in the gospel, and He will direct your steps. Have I said anything complicated this morning? Simple? Is it too simple? I even said to get God's will, you must go to the mountain and fast 40 days and 40 nights. You can do all those things if you fancy doing those things, but the gospel is simple. It requires your participation. But God has done it in such a way that anybody, a child that is 10 years old, 15 years old, can walk in His plan. But we have to make the choice. We have to make the choice. So, I'm going to ask that we rise and we pray this morning. You know, for me, you guys know that I don't make things complicated at all, whatsoever. I make it as simple as possible. And I think there's sometimes that there's some things I say, and because it sounds so simple, it's like, can it really be that simple? Actually, it is. Actually, it is that simple. Jesus was saying, for the kingdom, when we come to the kingdom or the things of the kingdom, we should embrace these things like little children. God does not want to complicate your life more than it is. Neither will I do that as well. Do you understand? So this morning, I just want us to pray. And the prayer is this. And it's a very personal prayer, just a few. It might be that it's never even crossed your mind that God has anything for you. Why don't you tell Him? I say, it's never crossed my mind that there's any plan. Then you can say, okay, God, it's not about me finding your plan. It's about me just participating in a local church. It's about me having a desire to know you. It's about me just living with a community of believers. Help me to be present. Help me to be present. Help me to know you. Just ask Him to help you. Father, we just want to thank you, immortal, invincible, God only wise. Father, we appreciate you for the simplicity of the gospel. Thank you that knowing your plan and following your plan is not complicated at all. It just requires us to know you, to have a desire to know you. Lord, give us that desire to know you. For those who are tired, Lord, I ask for strength for the days ahead. For those who are weary, I ask for encouragement for the days ahead. Help us to participate. Let us not be missing from our position regarding the things that you've called us to do as a church. Father, we love you and we thank you. Father, I pray for everyone that is here and even for those that are not here, that on that day, when we meet with you face to face, we'll be able to say, yes, I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. Lord, I'm asking that on that day, nobody that is here or part of this church will be missing, that we will be there rejoicing together. And even for our friends that have come to visit from other churches, Lord, let them not be missing as well on that day. Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.